We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's Thursday, December 9th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz's Smart on You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. It is our gambling and wagering preview for the weekend. College football is essentially over. There is one more game this weekend. Then we get into a whole batch of bowl games. We have some college football news to talk about first. And then we'll do our NFL picks that have been not so good this year. But we're hoping we still have 4 weeks left to turn this around. Five now, right? There's an extra week now. So plenty of time left to turn this around. Remember, guys, last year we hustled to finish above 500.
That's right.
We have to do that again, Matt. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Just like Ron Rivera, we gain steam later in the year until we're inevitable, despite how ugly it is. That's what we're going to do.
Yes. So we will talk about the Washington football team. I believe that is a wager both of us are eyeing this weekend. Washington football fans, just we're living flying on the edge each and every week. All right, as we head to bowl season, we're starting to get news now, and really the only news at the moment, besides the coaching search stuff, which we covered a lot on Monday, hasn't been much movement since then. Oregon's looking for a coach, and we'll find out who we get. And if we do get someone in the next couple of days, maybe we'll hop on for emergency podcast. But right now, as we approach bowl season, there's a lot of great games, by the way, and we'll preview a lot of them as we get going here. But we're seeing players start to sit out, yep. Right? Kayvon Thibodeau, Oregon's stud defensive end. And it's funny that the tweet by Schefter said he left because the coach, he's not playing because the coach left. He's just not playing because why would you play in a game that doesn't matter? However, though, we have a quarterback most likely sitting out of a New Year's Six Bowl. Pittsburgh's quarterback, Kenny Pickett, is possibly and most likely sitting out of their New Year's Six Bowl against Michigan State. That's a first. I'm not sure we've seen a quarterback sit out an important bowl game, right? They won the ACC conference. Matt, does this bother you when players sit out?
Of course not. There's only one side of this, I think. It's if you stand to gain from playing in the bowl game, you do it. And if you don't, you shouldn't. And for someone like Kenny Pickett or Kayvon Thibodeau, like, What is there to gain? Like, they could obviously, like, put aside the obvious possibility of injury, which, like, of course, that's something that should be considered. But they have to treat this like a business. Like, if you look at how colleges are treating college football, you know, fired coaches are making almost, what, $500 million this year? Like, everyone treats this like a business and then expects the players to do things like out of love or what's best for the school or something like that. They can't think like that. I think that anyone who says something about a player sitting out a bowl game should put themselves in the player's shoes and say, what would I do? Because I'm guessing you would probably sit out. To me, I just don't see another take on it, but I'm curious what you, as a former player and a fan of a team in a bowl, how you read it.
Well, I'm a fan of a team in a bowl game with two interim coaches, right? Bob Stoops and Oregon's wide receiver coach got the job for this weekend. I mean, what a weird bowl game for both those teams to be in. When the college bowl playoff and really the BCS system started, it started to slowly devalue bowl games, right? I love bowl games. When I was playing, it was awesome. I liked it. We went to the Holiday Bowl, the Vegas Bowl, and the Sun Bowl. You know, the Rose Bowl was looked at as a gold standard. I think it still is, but it's not for the title this year, right? Ohio State, Utah playing that game. You know, does Ohio State care to play in a Rose Bowl, which is shocking to say, but they thought they were going to be a playoff team, right? And so with the devaluation of bowls, because now unless you make a playoff, your basic season is wasted, which I think is the wrong attitude to have, but that's the way a lot of people view this. And these players are looking at the next steps. I am perfectly okay with any player sitting out. It does not hurt them. We saw last year, how many players get drafted in the first round that sat out of the entire 2020 season? 7, 8 of these guys?
Ton.
They put enough film. These are exhibition games, right? You have played your regular season. In my opinion, you have fulfilled your requirements for your team, and now you are missing an exhibition game. If you're Oregon, you're playing every young player. There's no point to playing any older players other than maybe to send them off if they want to play.
Yep.
If you're Kenny Pickett now, Kenny Pickett's interesting because he got them to this point. I'm surprised he is sitting out of a big bowl game when Pittsburgh has not been in the spot his entire career there. But I get it. An injury cost him millions of dollars. He's put in his work and is ready for the NFL. It's also worth pointing out, Matt, that this does not bother players. Huh. Players, this does not bother players. Players are rooting for their teammates to get paid, to go as high in the draft as they can, and it does not bother. Now, again, the Pickett thing is interesting because he's taking out a big bowl, but again, I don't think his teammates will care. They'll look at it as a way to play a backup. They'll prepare is the same exact way, and they'll be happy when Kenny Pickett's drafted as the first quarterback taken in the draft. I don't think it's clear number one, but I really have no issue with this. And if you do, you got to ask yourself why.
Right.
Why do you care?
If it's the Why national championship, that's one thing. If it's the Peach Bowl, like, I think you really have to imagine what it would be like if Kenny Pickett got injured. And look, think about it. Like, Ja'Marr Chase sat out an entire season, gets picked, what, in the I think in the top five off the top of my head.
Yeah, you got and look five. At Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, Slater. You know, those are at least two of the top five Offensive Rookie of the Year candidates right there. I mean, there's something to be said. Like, there was the test. It was COVID. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase could have played. He probably would have had a worse season. He could have gotten injured. And by the way, it doesn't need to be like a career-ending injury. Like, you just don't train for a couple months and things can set you back. So, I just think that you can't ever fault a player for doing this. And the coaches, by the way, are setting, if you're going to get mad at the coaches. Like, the coaches are setting the example here of treating these jobs like they're just, you know, total commodities. Like, it's just not fair to expect something different.
They're bouncing as soon as they can, which again, don't care about. But that's, you know, that's what we are. It's where we're at now. I believe, Matt, are you excited about Maryland and Virginia Tech? Are you going to go this game? It's in the Bronx.
Man.
The Yankee Stadium.
No, I will probably not attend, but it's.
Why not?
The Bronx is a little too far upstate for me. It's like, no, it's maybe, I don't know.
It's a Wednesday in the middle of the day, 2:15 PM on a Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, we record this in the middle of the day, Wednesday. So you tell me, I think these bowls are so silly. It's just like, what are we doing?
I'll let you skip this bowl game if you go put on a full Maryland garb and go to the Bronx and watch your team play in a baseball stadium.
Hey, that sounds, don't threaten me with a good time, Jeffrey.
you're all the way on like Maryland basketball already. You've passed.
I mean, don't even talk to me about Maryland basketball. What talk about a shit show?
It's not good.
They fired their coach like in the second week of the season.
Y'all
like,
and Hank were talking all this crap about how good Maryland was going to be this year.
Yeah, well, that's what we thought. They had different plans for how this basketball season's going to go. We actually had a discussion today about whether we should put college basketball picks in this show. That's how late in the season we're getting all of a sudden. It's like, oh my God, when did that happen?
The problem with doing that is you listen to the podcast at many different times throughout the week.
Right.
The game might have already passed. Also, I am not sure anyone's coming to this podcast to hear me talk about, let's see what we can find today. The game's today. It's December 8th. Okay.
What?
Does anyone come to hear my UConn West Virginia angle on who to gamble with tonight? What's your favorite by a point and a half? If you do, please let me know. At Jeff Schwartz. I would love to hear your thoughts on whether or not I'll start handicapping the crap out of these basketball games if you guys want some tomorrow. Purdue Rutgers. I mean, they're not even lines out yet for these games, right? Oh my God.
That's gonna be like 30
Gonzaga points. Is hosting Merrimack.
Man.
Merrimack.
Why don't we move to the thing that we claim to know something about, which is the NFL? Should we do that?
I'm trying to delay just because our record is 28-37, but let's do it, Matt. Let's pull the bandaid off. Let's get after it.
Let's do it, man. The listeners need us.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are going to start with the Thursday game this week, which I have been spending a lot of time trying to wrap my head around. It's Pittsburgh at Minnesota. The line that we are looking at, sorry, I lost my rundown. It's Vikings by 3 at the time we're recording this. Line came down after the Vikings lost a hideous game to the Lions. Do you have a side?
I think I'll take the Steelers here. If you look at the way they're able to generate pressure and the Vikings' issue with stopping teams from generating pressure, you look at vice versa. The Vikings defense can't really pressure the quarterback. Ben is terrible when pressured. Not half bad when not pressured. I would lean in this matchup of kind of where you look at the trenches, which I do first. Big lean to Steelers. Cousins has no Thielen, no Dalvin Cook. But I don't feel great about it, but I would definitely take Pittsburgh. And remember, Tomlin's underdog, very good. 5-2 this season, 11-4 in his last 15 as a dog against the spread. He's good in these. You know, everyone counts us out spots, which is why we took them last week as well.
Yep.
But I don't feel great about it. I think there's other ones on here, but where would you go?
It's interesting. I was leaning towards a pass, but I'm with you.
Vikings are 1-9 in their last 10 games as a favorite against the spread.
That was the next thing out of my mouth. Yeah, Kirk Cousins as a favorite is not a good spot. You mentioned Tomlin historically. The thing that I think really matters this season, the Steelers are 6-2 with TJ Watt in the lineup and 0-3-1 without him. He played last week and saved the game. I mean, he had such important plays down the stretch. He affected that 2-point conversion that was ultimately what decided the game.
Yeah.
So him being back is big. I mean, we missed the number here. It was 3.5. It might actually still be 3.5. I bet we could find one somewhere. The Steelers would be the side if we were picking it.
I see -3 at -120 though. There's a -3.5 at +100. I see
points bet +3.5. Yeah. Let's put it as a maybe. That wasn't one I was really thinking about, but I'll call.
I just don't want to play those Thursday games because you either start off on a bad foot or a good foot, and most times it's a bad foot.
Hey, sometimes it's nice to know early if you're gonna have a shit week.
Moving
to Sunday. Well, let's just start with my boys, the Washington football team hosting Dallas, Washington +3.5. I really tried to look at this critically, Jeff, so I'm prepared to have a sober conversation about it.
The play is Washington +3.5. Of course.
Yeah.
But this is not, it's not even a question of what we do here. Outside, cold weather, Cowboys have been up and down the last month. They're much healthier, but there's something about Washington right now, man. They're just playing better football. And they did kind of squeak by last week. I get that. But they're on the road after a big emotional win against Seattle on Monday Night Football. I would imagine the money, I'm going to check right here, a lot of money on Dallas. It feels like Washington at home is totally a play here. What's your idea?
Yeah. I really wanted to come into this and find a reason to pick Dallas just because, like, really? Obviously my heart's on Washington. I really wanted to check it. But the thing is like Dallas really is inflated. Their wins this season, Philly, Giants, Carolina, New England in the last time New England lost, Minnesota, who stinks, Atlanta, and the Saints in that game where Taysom just gifted them the game. That would have been a close game if Taysom didn't keep throwing picks at the end of it.
A 10-point game.
Yeah, but there was pick six at the end, right? Like, it was just like a mess. You and I texted early in the year about Brandon Scherff and like how he's going to get this big extension. I thought he was kind of overrated, but when he plays, Washington wins. It's just a thing that happens. They're 6-2 with him this season and didn't win a game without him. But the other thing that's really important here, you mentioned the outside. Last seven games for Dallas, the under has hit six times. For Washington, it's hit five of the last six, and the under in the last 10 games at FedEx Field is it's seven unders have hit, three overs have hit. So it's going to be a low scoring game. Yeah, the under's a good play. It's a divisional game. I don't think like the way that I would get worried about this is if Dallas blew them out, which, you know, their offense sort of wakes up. But I don't think that's going to happen. So a close game with the division with that 3.5, I just feel like you have to take it.
I'm with you, man. I'm totally in here. You kind of have to throw out some of these numbers that Washington just kind of put up early in the season, especially with their efficiency. Just look at what they're doing now. Their defense has played much better. They've almost had like a Chase Young Ewing theory, right? They're playing better without Chase Young. The pass coverage has been a lot improved. And there's something just about the Cowboys that, again, they won an ugly game against New Orleans, but it just kind of worries me what trajectory they're on right now.
Yeah. Antonio Gibson also got right, leading rusher in the NFC, which is kind of bizarre. Him being right has changed the look of their offense.
You good?
I'm good. Let's move on to a game we're probably not talking about. Jags at Titans, -8.5 for Tennessee. I see no value here.
Yeah, Tennessee off a bye. Jacksonville, they're 0-5 on the road this season straight up. Titans are 4-1 against the spread in their last five after bye week, but 8.5 is a ton of points. Yep. This to me screams like a huge stay away.
Yep. It's probably Tennessee, but like I'm sorry, I'm just not laying it without Derrick Henry.
No chance.
God, Seahawks at Texans, another stinker. Jeff, every week I come in here and I'm like, we gotta take Houston, right? But I asked Hank to look, we're 1-4 when we're picking Houston. This is another juicy spot, but like, I just don't know if I could do it anymore.
Isn't the answer to take the Seahawks here?
No.
Davis Mills?
Oh, Seattle?
I mean, I'm not saying we take Seattle, but Davis Mills is starting.
7.5. I don't think so, man.
No, we're not taking the hook there, but like, this is for sure a maybe.
No, it's not. We're not taking this. The thing we should have remembered last week is Seattle does do well against San Francisco. That was a kitchen sink game. They had a fake punt touchdown. Like, that was a miracle game. Like, I don't see them losing Jamal Adams and all of a sudden like winning by over a touchdown here. Pass.
We can't take Houston though either.
We're just passing it.
Okay. All right.
We're not touching that one. That was good. That was a good, healthy dialogue between friends who don't want to lose the listeners' money. Here's one that you're going to like. I know it, and I'm going to be out on this. The Raiders are at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are laying 9. Are you going to tell me we're laying the 9?
No, but I'm going to tell you to just take the under in the Chiefs game is moving forward. Under is 48. Okay. Under is hitting 6 of their last 7 games. Raiders' offense is just not as prolific lately. I'd smash the under in this game. But Raiders are 1-4 against the line their last 5. But I would just take the under here. That feels much safer. I'm not laying it with Kansas City here. I don't feel comfortable with their offense enough to lay over a touchdown. So I'm out. I'm not in this game.
Yeah, I don't think so. I do think the Chiefs might end up winning out. They might. They play the Raiders at the Chargers, the Steelers at the Bengals, and at the Broncos. All those feel winnable, and all those feel like statements.
100%.
I feel like they might end up winning out and being the.
And they might end up with the one seed, and we all were like, "Oh, Chiefs are never gonna win again." They might have the one seed. Everybody
might just be Chiefs Bucks again. All right, moving on to Saints Jets. My God, Jets +5. Who are the quarterbacks? Taysom Hill and Zach Wilson, I guess.
Taysom Hill, oh, geez.
I mean, do we need to talk about this? I don't know what to do with this Saints team, man.
The play would be the Jets, but I just, you're basically blindly betting a bad team. I don't know. And then, you know, they need to win in the worst way.
The Saints defense has been great. I mean, they're probably not going to lose six straight, but I keep saying that every week. They're not going to lose three straight, four straight, five straight.
Yeah.
I don't know. No value in that number.
No, I don't think there's none.
Ugh. I hate to just like skip all these and give no analysis, but like that, I just don't see an angle there.
I mean, like what is the analysis to give? The Saints have lost five in a row. They don't lose with Sean Payne that often, but they can win this game. It doesn't mean they cover, right? And you look at the Jets and just the injuries they have. It's a game no one's going to watch. I just can't do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the Falcons and Panthers. And one of the strangest lines of the week, the Panthers are favored by 2.5. Who is their quarterback exactly?
Cam, I think.
We think Cam, who looked atrocious. I don't want to bet Atlanta again, but why? I just can't see a world why Carolina is favored without McCaffrey and with a new offensive coordinator. Like this is, they're just going to hand the ball off 1,000 times in this game, right?
So the Panthers have failed to cover 7 of the last 9. Falcons are 3-3-1 against the spread in their last 5, have 1 in cover the last 3 in Charlotte. And Hank put in a good note here that the last four times that the Panthers were favored, they lost straight up. They just fired their OC. But the Falcons, woof. 32nd on defense, on 32nd DVOA and special teams. Carolina's not much better. They're 26th. They're 7th in defensive DVOA. God, that's just 3. I'd feel so much better about it. But I feel like all the public money's on the Falcons, too. Oh.
Yeah, it's a bit of a square play, but...
Do you want to just put in the maybes?
I mean, I don't want to bet the Falcons, but this line just makes no sense to me. I just don't see how the Panthers are favored over anyone right now.
I don't know either, buddy. So we'll put in the maybes for now.
All right. Moving on to Ravens-Browns. The line we have here is 2.5 for Cleveland. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns here. The Ravens are so beat up, Matt. Like, they're a mash unit. Like, they have no one left to play. They had to go for 2 at the end of the other day because they have no one left to play football for them. I know.
Yeah, did you buy that?
What?
That was the real reason?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Browns have a bunch of tight ends hurt. Okay, fine. But the Ravens just put their 7th guy in injured reserve, like their 7th starter. Like, who's left to play? This is a Lamar Jackson be a hero game. Browns off a bye. You got to figure they have some stuff coming out. Now, I know Stefanski is awful against the spread in his division. I think he's covered 1 or 0 games in the division.
He started 0-7, yeah. And I think he covered the last 2.
I know this is square. I know it. But we have one team off a bye in Cleveland and one team that is so beat up. How long can the Ravens keep doing this, dude? It's just Lamar Jackson holding this team by a thread.
So remember in the preseason how the Ravens won their 20th consecutive game, and we were talking about, you know, how hard they practice and all that. Like, they're the most banged up team. They're on their, you know, they're planning their games out based on their injuries. Like, John Harbaugh, clearly a great in-game coach, but like, is it time for them to like rethink what they're doing there? Like, this is crazy. Have you ever seen a team with this many injuries? Like, they just, I know Tennessee has had their share too, but it just feels like with Baltimore, maybe they're overextending themselves in the beginning of the season, in the preseason.
It's possible.
Because something's up with them.
They'll feel very just unlucky, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's true, but when you're talking about like your corners, your running backs, like you're just, it's like ACLs and all this stuff that just keeps happening. It's like, I wonder if they're just run down. I don't know, but I agree with you. Cleveland was one that I flagged as one I really liked because I actually came into this liking Baltimore, just thinking like, hey, they actually should have won last week. Like, that ball bounced off Andrews' left hand. Like, you know, Harbaugh's a great coach. We already talked about Stefanski in this division, but here's the thing. Cleveland's schedule, very weird. They went Ravens by Ravens.
Yeah.
So they really have been thinking about the Ravens for a month, and they lost the previous one, and this one's at home. Like, I just think that there's no way that they lose this game as a professional team with a competent coaching staff.
Agreed. And
Baker Mayfield, like, this is the game, right? Like, he's been terrible for a month. He's been hearing about it, and now he's going to come out against no cornerbacks and show up and be like, "Pay me, I'm the man again." Like, this is what's going to happen.
I agree, dude. I'm with you here. Let's put Cleveland in.
Done. Hank, good note here. The past five seasons, the Ravens have been among the seven least injured teams four times.
Yeah.
That actually is now more confusing now that I read it. So they generally have not had a problem,
no.
But I guess it catches up when you go for it constantly in the preseason. That's my take, at least. Moving on to Giants Chargers. The Chargers are 10.5-point favorites, Jeff. Can we do it?
The Giants are starting Jake Fromm at quarterback on the road.
Good Lord. Is that right?
I mean, this is one of those where I feel like I get till Friday to put my picks in for the contest. The line will come out tonight at some point. So the line is set to be 10.5, 11, somewhere around there. But like, if Daniel Jones is not going to play in this game, what's the final score of this game? 28-10? Like, are the Chargers really going to allow the Giants to just run up and down the field on them with a backup, with Jake Fromm at quarterback? I mean, like, really? The problem is the Chargers are so unreliable because, like, last week, right? They big lead, come back, end up winning big. I think this is a no-brainer, but I would put it in the yes, but or at least the maybes.
I really don't like the Chargers here. I assumed Glennon would start, and as we're taping, it looks like they expect him maybe to be cleared to start. Daniel Jones unlikely to play. So Keenan Allen's on the COVID list. So that takes away like most of the Chargers' production in the passing game. The Chargers just came off this blowout win against Cincy that, like, I feel like we should have just been on to the Chargers because we knew Cincy was just going to fall flat after a win. Giants are always better on the road. I was, and the Chargers have no home field advantage. Like, I was really considering the Giants here, but the quarterback thing, you just can't do it.
So we'll put in the maybe for now then. Just touch on it again a little bit.
I mean, Keenan Allen. God, the Giants haven't had a wide receiver or running back score a touchdown since week 7.
Yep.
How is that possible? Man, Giants, another journey this season for them. Speaking of journeys, the Lions, congratulations, guys. You did it. You won a game. You're going to Denver, who's laying 8 in Mile High. What do you think?
Why are the Broncos laying 8 to anybody? Right?
I agree. I mean, it's ugly, but Detroit's 8-4 against the spread this year. For context, New England's 9-4, and everyone's talking about how great they are against the spread. I mean, I feel like I'm curious what you think, just like throwing everything else out. Like, if you're on a really ass team that wins its first game, like, is there momentum now, or is this a like?
Yeah, you're definitely feeling good. The problem is just Jared Goff on the road and cold weather. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
like,
true.
Do we want to root for Jared Goff? And you want me to text you with 3 minutes left? Jared Goff is driving at Mile High Stadium trying to get a backdoor cover for us.
No, I don't want that.
Right? No.
But the side is Detroit here, right?
The side is Detroit, 100%. Agreed. But I'm not sure I want to do that.
How many do we have now? We have like two.
Washington,
like,
Cleveland.
Maybe Washington, Cleveland. All right. So we've got some work to do. And maybe Pittsburgh. All right, let's move to the 425 games, 49ers, Bengals. The Bengals are 1-point favorites right now. This is my favorite of the week.
Oh, go first.
Okay, I love San Francisco. If you're getting anything with a plus next to San Francisco, you have to do it. Shanahan, 60% against the spread as a road dog. This is when he works his miracles. Burrow, he's going to play. He's going to be fine. But even a little bit banged up, this team goes from very competitive against anyone to a mess, right? Like Joe Burrow, we saw what this team was without him last year. He holds this team together. Last week, they got absolutely destroyed. But San Francisco, for some reason, I think San Francisco is getting dinged for losing to Seattle more than Cincinnati is getting dinged for losing to the Chargers, even though the Chargers have not done a thing for a month. San Francisco... has played a very difficult schedule this year. They have gone against the NFC West. The Bengals have had a cake schedule. When you look at their DVOA, it's a complete mismatch. San Francisco clearly is the better team. I just think with Burrow banged up, San Francisco off a loss, this is just an absolute no-brainer that you take the points of San Francisco.
100% agreement with you. I love this play. Everyone's going to be on what you said, right? Like, oh, the Bengals had an embarrassing loss. They'll bounce back at home. Burrow's pinky, man. Like, that's a big deal. You mean to throw this week? Like, what's happening? We have a Niners team, again, off a loss, kind of embarrassing loss. I'm all over the Niners here. I love, and DVOA is important, right? We kind of talk about efficiency. The Niners as a team are seventh. They're actually fourth on offense and ninth on defense. The Bengals, 19th. Like, they're not as efficient as we think. And you get an angry Niners team here still playing for the I love Niners here. I'm with you. Agreed.
I love it. Great. Okay. Moving back to, oh man, this is a great game. Curious which side you're on here. Tampa is hosting Buffalo. What a terrible 1930s Big Ten game we all had to watch on Monday night. Tampa's laying 3. Do you have an opinion on what to bet on?
So remember last year, about this time of year, yep, Tampa Bay just said, you know what? We're going to kick everyone's ass. Uh-huh. Now, that's what's happening right now, everybody. They're going to kick everyone's ass. And Buffalo is going to get their ass kicked this weekend.
I agree.
Yeah. Buffalo has deficiencies. Josh Allen's not playing as well this year. They can't really run the football. After they lost to New England, we heard whining about Bill Belichick. And you know, don't give him credit. Like, they're just focusing on other things, not themselves. I didn't like to hear that afterwards. Well, don't give him too much credit. Well, then beat them, then. Like, what do you want? Going to Tampa now, cold weather team going to warm weather. And I think Tampa's kind of getting that, you know, have those eyes right now. They're number one in DVOA. They're starting to play a little, again, they're kind of like getting healthier at certain places. It's a public play. I get it. It's not terribly sharp, but I think it's the right play, which is more important for me. I love Tampa here.
I'm with you. I think when you watched Tampa last week and we were against them and regretted it heartily, when you see Vita Vea getting into the backfield every single play, it's a sign that their defense is about to turn things around. Their secondary has been so banged up, but he, I think, is the key.
He was Buffalo last year. When he came back last year, that was the key.
Yeah, it was the same
thing. Also worth noting very quickly, Tampa Bay is 8-1 in their last 9 home games against the spread, including the Super Bowl, because that was at home.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And this year they're 4-1 against the spread at home. Buffalo has good trends off a loss and on the road. But here's the thing we got to remember. Tom Brady has never lost a home game that he played the entire time to the Bills. No one has beat a team more in NFL history than Tom Brady and the Bills. This is a great get right spot for him. They're clearly like doing the MVP push. Last week, in the first quarter, he was on pace to throw like 80 times in a game where they were beating the shit out of the Falcons. Clearly, they have their eyes on the prize here. I love Tampa. I think this is a really good one. And I'm starting to wonder, like, Buffalo, we ate crow on Josh Allen last year. I think both you and I were expecting him to not be quite as good. You were harder on that than I was. I'm starting to wonder if, like, the Buffalo has no running game. They just haven't had one in the entire time Allen has been there. I'm starting to see with these teams, like, if you don't have a running game, even no matter how good your quarterback is, it's going to fall apart at some point. It doesn't matter. Like, all of these good teams, they seem to just be able to pull games out with just like a quality rushing attack that extends beyond the quarterback. And I just wonder if Buffalo's problem isn't Josh Allen. It's like they go in this draft and get a decent running back. Give him a chance to succeed. Am I crazy?
I think your point is more about the offensive line, right? Is that in kind of as you go down the stretch, it's very important to have just kind of an offensive line that can kind of grind on people, right? And kind of get those hard yards for you in big games. Buffalo doesn't have that right now. Tampa Bay does. They're better in the trenches. They're better at quarterback. They're better at skill position. Like, they're just, they kind of can grind on you and just, especially when it's hot in Tampa Bay this weekend. That's what it is more than just having a run game. It's just like, that to me, that's what it is.
You just look at like some of the hottest teams in the league right now. You know, like the Colts have had a good run. the Patriots, obviously, they just ran the ball 90 times.
Good offensive line, dude. Good offensive lines. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, Philly, like the Cardinals, like all these teams that can just run the ball and get 4 or 5 yards of carry. It's just, it wears on you. So, yeah, I just think that that's Buffalo's big concern here. Sunday night, Packers, Bears, we're seeing 11.5. No?
No, really?
Packers.
Oh, I know what I know which way you want
to
go.
I'm down to lay this, dude. Can I just like give you a bath of trends here? So the stats here are screaming to take the Packers. First of all, this number has gone down. This has been at 12.5. If we're getting 11.5, we're getting the best of the number here for sure. LaFleur never lost to the Bears, never not covered to the Bears. 5-0. Rodgers against the Bears, historically. Wait, it's buried in here somewhere. Well, I'll start here. He's covered 65% of his home games in his career. He's 24-12 against the spread in the division at home. He's 11-5-1 against the spread off a bye. He's 5-0 against the spread versus the NFC North off a bye. Like, this is it. This is the game. Justin Fields is going to come back. He's not going to be healthy. This is the game where the Bears get absolutely annihilated and fire the coach. This is the one. I think the Packers could win this one by 40. Like, it's going to be mayhem. National TV, Aaron Rodgers, everyone's dunking on him all season. Now he gets to make his MVP case. It's coming.
Packers are 10-1 against the Lions since week one. They've won and covered the last 5 in this series. They're off a bye. I mean, look, if it's one of your favorite ones, right?
I just
think I always like deny your favorite one of the week and it wins and we text each other very upset about it.
My favorite one, San Francisco, but this is not far behind. Like, this is that we're getting the best of the number too at 11.5. Like, this has gone down.
So we have one spot left: Washington, Cleveland, San Francisco, Tampa. Let's get to the next game. We'll circle back to Green Bay. I think the Arizona is hosting the Rams. Arizona's a 2-point favorite on Monday Night Football. All the public money is going to be on the Cardinals in this spot. We've been wrong about them a lot this year. They're playing good football. They play much better on the road than at home. Is there anything you want to do on this game?
I went back and forth on this a lot. I was hoping you'd have a better take on it than me because they seem to be begging you to take the Cardinals here, but the Rams, which means you should take the Rams, but this number keeps going down. It's getting closer and closer. I'm seeing a book where it's at 1.5. It's at 3 in some places, 2.5. The Cardinals are undefeated straight up on the road this season, and they're only, I think they're 4-3 at home, which is just very strange. This is Cliff Kingsbury's played the Rams 5 times. He's only won once, or maybe it's 6 times.
The NFC West has those incredible, like,
yeah, those like circles. Yeah. So I think the play is the Rams here, but I'm not really feeling it. Like,
I'd rather take Green Bay minus the 11 and just think the Bears are going to implode.
I'm fine. The Bears suck, man. Like, they absolutely suck. Like, part of the thing with the Cardinals is last week the Bears just gave them the game.
I know.
Turnovers and, you know, the red zone stuff, the penalties. Like, it was just they were, like, trying to lose it.
So our 5 right now: Washington plus 3.5, Cleveland minus 2.5, SF minus 1, Tampa plus 3, minus 3.
SF plus 1.
SF plus 1 to have that. Green Bay, Tampa Bay minus 3, Green Bay minus 11.5. Are you good with those 5?
Washington, Cleveland,
San Francisco,
Tampa, Green Bay. I love those 5.
I love them.
I love them. Don't you? What would you take out? I mean, Pittsburgh is the one on deck, I think.
Who at this point, I mean, can't do any worse, I guess, right? So let's take a bunch of...
We love Tampa. We love San Francisco.
No, you're right.
We love Cleveland. Washington's smart. We're getting the hook. And we're getting a great number on Green Bay.
You're right. I'm just so beat up from this 28-37 record. We need a 5-0. We've had 0-5 days. Where's our 5-0 day at?
This is it. This is the first time we've walked out of this and been like, man, these kind of all look tasty to me. Like, is there one? Like, I really do like all five of them.
All right, well, let's do it. Those are our 5.
Well, let's go. We got it. We're due for one. This is the week.
We are due for one. We're due for a lot. We need to get you guys some wins here in the NFL. And college football, we're fine. Remember, take the under in that Army-Navy game. It's like 34 points. Just take the under. Yep. Just auto under in one of the best games of the year. Standalone game on Saturday. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. You can find me at Jeff Schwartz on social media. Please leave a review. It's very important. 5 stars would be great. If you like this show, very important to us and to our show. All right, we'll be back on Monday with a college football show about college football that we didn't play this weekend, but we'll talk about some Heisman stuff from this weekend. We'll talk about bowl games as we head into bowl season, and we'll hopefully have a wrap on coaching carousel. Maybe we'll kind of recap where we are with that, who we think can win right away. There's still a lot of college topics to talk about. As much as Hank wants us to talk about college basketball, maybe. We'll see how it goes. All right, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.